The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The college football playoff semifinals kick off tomorrow night, and it starts with number 6 Penn State against number 7 Notre Dame. And then on Friday, you have 5 Texas and 8 Ohio State. So let's just go ahead and push ahead to Friday just for a minute here with Texas and Ohio State. And we talked a lot about just how both of these teams with Ohio State, their offense looked like probably what they should have looked like all season in their quarterfinals game. Texas has their times at offense where it seems like they're rolling, and then Bo Hughes, or they kind of hit a bit of a lull. But defensively, both of these two teams are pretty tough.
Yeah, this is, on paper, the best defense that Ohio State's going to face in the playoff so far.
Yeah.
And maybe overall, maybe all year.
I hit you with some quick stats
real
fast. Ohio State, when you're talking about defense, the offensive points per game, they are first. And then Texas is fourth in the FBS this season.
Yeah, and you go and you look at kind of what Ohio, you mentioned their offense. They're averaging 41.5 points in their two games.
I'm sorry, that was defense with opponent, yes.
But you mentioned Ohio State's offense hitting their stride in the quarter. They did it in the I don't know what you call it, the first round, I guess, as well, where they just destroyed what I thought was a very good Tennessee defense as well. And so, but you look at what Texas has done as a defense, and they allowed almost Cade Klubnik to throw for almost 340 yards and 3 touchdowns against them in the first round.
Yeah.
But then they really stifled Skidaboo at times, Tiff, and then he just kind of hit another gear. When, to your point, when Texas went in an offensive lull was when Arizona State and Skidaboo kind of got their footing. And then he ran for almost 150, a couple of touchdowns, had a big receiving play, then threw a freaking touchdown on top of it.
That was your offensive MVP. That was your MVP of the game.
Yeah.
That was like the first time in, I forget how long, like decades, since the MVP was from the losing team.
Yeah, and it was cool. It was really cool seeing the Peach Bowl come to the, you know, Texas is on the field celebrating. They're in their own press conference and at the, you know, in the press room, and they've got to come over to him at the table while he's doing that. And I thought it was cool. The matchup for me is Jahdae Barron of Texas, who won the Jim Thorpe Award this year, versus this is where it gets weird for me. He's only 5'11", 190.
Okay.
Against this,
it's your average college corner, I think.
This freshman phenom in Jeremiah Smith, who has really just been found all of a sudden in a lot of ways in the playoff, who's 6'3", 215. So basically it's Julio versus Desmond Trufant.
Yeah. And it's weird because you really have, to your point about Jeremiah Smith, he's been a guy that's been a dude all along, but on the national scene he's finally making those exceptional plays. And a lot of people are obviously paying attention to Ohio State. It's strange. I think that's a good matchup. I think it will be a good matchup. I think Texas has one of the best defensive lines, if not the best defensive line in the country, especially at this point. The problem is there's two. I look at this matchup. I'm like, oh, Texas defense line is going to go there, man. They're gonna absolutely, you know, be able to run through Ohio State. That's gonna be the big issue. Nobody's paying attention to it. But the issue is that Oregon and Tennessee both have really good defensive lines, and that didn't seem to be an issue. Not only that, but to both of y'all's point about the Skidaboo thing, that really didn't play a factor either. So, I mean, you're looking at some of these things where Texas has these strengths, and you feel like, of course, Texas, from what you've seen out of them, when they play well, they play very well. The problem for Texas right now is nobody is playing better than Ohio State. And it still blows my mind when we go back just a few weeks and watched Ohio State play Michigan, how that game played out. I mean, that is, if there was ever a commercial for rivalry week creating havoc and chaos, that was the one. Because I still don't know how that game panned out, but it's going to be a good one, man. I think this is probably of the two. I'm looking forward to the playmakers of this one. And then the other game, the Orange Bowl, the Notre Dame-Penn State, I'm looking forward to the lines of scrimmages, the front sevens, the run game. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, watch all those things really kind of play out.
But Mike, since you mentioned Oregon and Tennessee, both those teams that Ohio State knocked off to get here, you talked about how their defense was really good. When you look at Will Howard, 74.5% completion percentage, 315 passing yards, 5 touchdowns to 1 interception in those 2 games combined.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too. Will Howard kind of asked yesterday, you know, about the build-up to the game and about playing Texas. Remember, this is a guy that was at Kansas State for a little bit and has had a number of shots against Texas, took him to overtime a couple of times, and he didn't shy away from it. He was like, look, I'm excited to get another opportunity, get another crack at this team because I haven't been able to, you know, to really kind of spread his wings, I guess. And so kind of seeing his reaction to that. Seeing that, you know, as how he's at Ohio State now, but he's asked about his time at Kansas State and playing Texas and everything like that. He didn't shy away from it. He said, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get another crack at this team.
Before we go, here are some other college football headlines. Georgia lands Texas A&M wide receiver Noah Thomas from the transfer portal. Thoughts?
I don't think there's any doubt that the wide receiver position at Georgia you've got to hit on these transfer portal guys. You got to. You needed playmakers last year, and then all of a sudden you've had an offense that seems like it's being gutted a little bit from guys leaving, going to the NFL, and you got to hit on those guys. Got to hit on the portal guys this year for Kirby Smart.
Big kid, too. He's 6'6", 200 pounds, so he's a big target for Puglisi or Gunnar Stockton or quarterback to be named later. I don't know. Real quick, you talking about transfers real quick? Don't forget the underlying story is where Quinn Ewers started his career.
I forgot about that. We haven't heard about that at all.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, don't forget about that. That was when he had that mullet
business
haircut.
Decision.
Yeah, that was what his
Texas wouldn't let him get NIL money before he was 18 or whatever.
Yeah. But
he's like, I'm out.
Georgia's got to rebuild that wide receiver room because Arian Smith's gone, and hopefully Noah Thomas has less drops than Arian Smith next year.
Boise State's running back, Ashton Gentry, a Heisman Trophy candidate, he declares for the NFL draft. Not surprised by this, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of interest now that we have revived the running back position through Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that was like one of those formalities. That was like, you know, that he was going to get.
For sure.
That's like, that's like, who else can you think of? Like Jalen Walker saying, yeah, I'm going to go pro. No kidding. You're a star.
And it's funny because you never know these days with the JUCO rules of Diego Pavia and also the COVID year. You never know who has eligibility left. Like, well, everybody has eligibility left.
I think if Ashton Gentry was at an SEC school, he might have or a Power 4 school. Yeah. The money might be there to keep him from going pro.
That's a good point.
And quickly here, ahead of Notre Dame's game tomorrow, running back Jeremiah Love, he is expected to be ready for the Orange Bowl against Penn State after practicing this week. So he did deal with a knee injury that he re-aggravated in the third quarter of their Sugar Bowl win over Georgia.
He is their leading rusher. It is a two-headed monster there. But Jeremiah Love is their bread and butter guy. Had over 1,000 yards this year and 16 touchdowns. So he is the dude when it comes to that. And it's really their running game is a three-headed monster with Leonard mixed in there.
Yeah, I think we said it just a minute ago. This is a game that you feel like is going to be played not between the tackles. I don't want to say that, but let's just call it between the tight ends. This game is going to be played between the tight ends. So that ought to be interesting to watch, and obviously that's a big get for them moving forward.
The college football playoff continues Thursday and Friday, and on Friday, Dukes and Bell will be breaking down all the action at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Make sure to come down there and join them Friday from 2 to 7 for a special college football preview show brought to you by Dos Equis. Go for Dos. It's all at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Friday for those guys.